thank you for those people.
Want to turn with us, let's see where I want to go to. Psalms 24. Look at the one next to you and shake their hand and say, you're the one that makes this congregation look so good today. Now look back at them and say, Brother Dave's going to give an altar for repentance in a few minutes. Amen. Psalms 24, verse number 1. Can I share a little quick joke with you? I told them Wednesday night, this elderly couple, senior citizen couple, was sitting in the restaurant that ordered one hamburger and one fry and one drink, and they sat down and they took a knife and they cut it in half, the man put half over in front of his wife. He kept half. He distributed out the fries equally, and they each took a little sip of the drink, you know. And a young couple over there saw him. The guy went over and says, look here, said, I see y'all eating, you know, having to share that food. Said, look, I'll buy y'all another meal to go along with that. And they said, no, we've been living together so long, we just share everything. And so they sat there and watched, and the guy, you know, the guy began to eat and kept eating. He was finishing up with his hamburger and fries and everything and went to wiping his mouth, and the guy noticed the woman hadn't even touched hers yet. So he gets up and goes over and says, ma'am, says, what's going on? Says, he's eat all his, but you've not even touched yours. She says, I'm waiting on the teeth. They share everything. So do y'all share? All right, Psalms 24 and verse 1. It said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In other words, everything belongs to God. Come on. It's kind of like the farmer that went to church and heard the preacher say, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And God has given everything that we have. And he invited the pastor home for Sunday dinner. After lunch, they walked around outside, and he said, how you like my big old nice home here? Preacher said, oh, it's nice, but it's big. He said, look at all the big barns scattered across. Look at the hills, the rolling hills. Look at all the cattle on them hills. He said, preacher, you know, when I was a little bitty boy, I bought one little calf, and I raised that calf, and I sold it, and I bought me two calves. And from that, I have acquired all this. And you said this morning that everything belongs to God. What about you got to say about this, preacher? He said, ask me that 100 years from now. God will wait us out, won't he? Everything belongs to God. Amen. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Have you ever asked this question? Who goes to heaven? Who can go to heaven? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who can stand in the presence of God? And then he answers it in verse 4. He that hath, everybody say it, clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for the word. We thank you for every soul that's here today. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, the way that you would have us to hear today. Father, right where we're living. And Father, we just love you today. We thank you, Lord, that we have breath in us. That God, that we can live for you in this world, God, this wicked and perverse world, we can live for you. And Lord, we just love you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I was sitting in the restaurant the other night, and I got this message. I want to pose a question to you. Say if you went after service today, you go to this restaurant. And on the way in, you're going in to, you know, maybe wash your hands or something, you know, in the restroom. And out of one of the stalls comes someone. And you see them head to the door, and they go on out the door, and you go out right behind them. And they go around behind the counter, and they begin to pick up the bread that you're going to be eating and making and preparing your food and handling it and putting it on your plate and setting it up in front of you to eat. How many would eat it? Why? Because they didn't have clean hands. Yet we in the church world, with preachers and teachers and Christians, try to serve this world the food of God. And we have unclean hands. No wonder no one wants to eat it. Amen? They watch our lives. They've seen our actions. And we do one thing that is dirty. We have dirty hands. And then we go behind the counter and try to serve them food. And they don't want to eat it. No. Don't have clean hands. Amen? Well, the same way that we wouldn't want to eat that food, God don't want us to stand in his holy, sacred places and tell the world who we claim to be when we're really not. Amen. Amen. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Everybody look at your hands. Amen. They can be used for good or bad, can they not? Amen. They can be used to hurt as well as heal. They can be used to worship God or create havoc and sin in our lives, our hands. Said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hands reach. Touch. The Bible talks a lot about touch. And we know in society touch is very unique to people. You know? Wives, you like your husbands to touch you. And husbands, your wife, you know, something about touch. They say that if someone comes and visits, if you can somehow touch them at least 3 times, that they stand a high percentage of chance of coming back. So touch is very warming, and touch is, you know, something unique. And God has given us this ability of touch. It's one of the senses that we have. Amen. He says in James, in the 4th chapter, in verse number 1, he said, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? A lot of times our own problems are created by what we are desiring and craving after. People who are in trouble this morning, they gave in to their lust and they end up in prison. They end up in chaos. Amen. They end up in divorce. They end up in bankruptcy because of their cravings, their lust that they cannot control. Says verse number 2, he says, ye lust and have not, and ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You don't ask the right source. And then sometimes when you ask, you receive not because you're asking the right source, but you're not asking it in Him. Amen. You have to be in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You ask outside of the straight and narrow, outside of the will of God, that you may consume it upon your lust. Verse 4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Wow! If we're friends of the world, or we're dirtying our hands with the world, how can we dirty our hands all week long in the world and come into the house of God with unclean hands and try to worship God with filthy hands? These things ought not be so. Amen. We wonder sometimes, you know, I didn't feel the Lord this morning. Well, how clean are your hands? Amen. Sometimes the filth of the world gets up on your hands and you have no feeling. He talks about that in Timothy. Paul says that they, you know, about having our conscience seared with a hot iron. You can't feel. They're past feeling. The Bible talks about a group of people past feeling. Verse 5, it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the what? Humble. Amen. So often people say, well, I'm good on my own. Let me tell you. Isaiah said that in our own sight, in the sight of God, in our own abilities, we're as filthy rags. Our self-righteousness is as filthy rags. We can try to straighten our life out. We can quit going into the world. We can try to quit sinning. We can try to wash ourselves with soap and lye and everything else. Amen. To try to cleanse us, but we're still as filthy rags. Amen. It takes humility and to humble ourselves before God. Verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Evidently, we're away from God. That's what he's saying. If the enemy's giving you a hard time, evidently you need to check up where you're at. He's represented by darkness. Is that not right? God is light. Darkness flees from light at least 186,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light. So any time that the enemy is around you, you need to just change your wattage out. You got too small a bulb. Amen? Hitting God good to us. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's not that as you run toward God, God runs towards you. No. God is in the same place he's ever been. He said in Malachi, he says, I am God, I change not. My people change. It's like that pulpit right there. If I want the, if, just say that's God. And if I will take it, humble myself and draw nigh to God. But we're hard headed. I ain't budging an inch. God, you want me, you got to come to me. Well, just stay without. But if I will draw nigh to that pulpit, watch it. Look at it drawing nigh to me. Look at it. It's drawing nigh to me. Look at here. Amen. Wow, that thing drew nigh to me because I humbled myself and came to it. Amen. He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. What did he say? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What does double-minded mean? It means two-spirited. It means sometimes you're for God and sometimes you're for the world. Amen. James said in the first chapter, verse 8, he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be a good sinner and you can't be a good Christian. I guess you can't be a bad sinner. I guess that's the way it be. And you can't be a good Christian. You're miserable. Huh? Straddling the fence. You're miserable. Amen. People in the world like that are miserable, aren't they? Trying to be in the world and be in God too. But here in James, he's telling us to cleanse our hands. Let's look at Israel for just a couple of minutes here. Think about Israel. We know Israel. Israel was like the church people. Sometimes they're hot for God and sometimes they're not. Huh? Sometimes they was hot for God. Was they not? Sometimes they was not. Sometimes they followed God. Sometimes they didn't. About like a lot of church people you hear about, right? Amen. Sometimes they was excited about God. Sometimes they wonder, where God is? Where are you at, God? Amen. He says in Jeremiah in the second chapter, verse 20, listen. Just pick it up here. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands. And thou sayest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. I mean, here's Israel like church people. Lord, I'm going to serve you now. I'm going to sell out to you, God. And then he said, every hill they come along to, or under every little tree, everywhere they could, they played the harlot. Everything that came along distracted them. Amen. Verse 21, it says, yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Degenerate means distorted or deteriorated, rather. It means to deteriorate or to turn off. God is saying that at one time you was all excited about me, but look at you now. Amen. Why do people turn off from God? It's because their hands get dirty. Amen. And they get ashamed, and we get reluctant to come to God, because we know that when we come to the light, our sins are exposed. Amen. Sometimes we come to church on Sunday morning, and because we've not prayed all week long or read our Bible or done anything for God, we don't think that God loves us because we have not done for Him. But let me tell you, God's love is unconditional. God's love is not based that way. Amen. He is not like me and you. Understand. God wants us not to look back, but to us to adjust our course this morning. It does not matter what I was yesterday. It matters what I am today, what I am right now. Amen. I can't change yesterday. I can't change last week. Oh, God knows that a lot of us in here would love to change some of our yesterdays, but I can't change it. But I sure can redeem time. Amen. I can make a difference this morning that'll affect my today and my tomorrows. Amen. Verse 22. It says, for though thou wash thee with nitre, that is a like lye soap, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. You can wash your mouth out till you're blue in the face to try to get that tongue to straighten out. But my friend, it takes the Lord. Come on. You can wash and wash. How many has ever done something that was bad and you know was bad and you wanted to just get in a tub somewhere and just wash to try to get clean? Amen? Because you felt dirty. And you washed and you washed and you could not get clean. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. Soap and water that you buy at Piggly Wiggly and out of the city system here, or the well water, will not wash a soul clean. It takes the blood. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? Amen. He says, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art as swift as a swift dromedary traversing her ways. That's a female camel. A wild ass used to the wilderness that sniffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In other words, when they get the scent of a male camel or a male ass, that they lose all everything and they just go crazy. That's the way some people are in sin, amen. Out in the world, amen. They're addicted to sin. They're addicted. They get a sniff of the drug, or they get a sniff of the sin, and they forget all about God. I mean, they could come and get saved and they get serving God. And the first time they get out there in the world, it's just like they get a sin of it. And it draws them and they just lose all their mind. God said, Israel, you're like this female camel. You're like this ass that got the nose in the wind. Forget everything else. How can it be? Amen. Look at Isaiah in the first chapter. He's talking about Israel and how that God has taken Israel, this little bitty nation of people that was rejected by the world. And he's taken them and he nourished them up and he raised them up, yet they rebelled. God goes on in the first chapter and he reminds them of how that Sodom and Gomorrah rebelled and how they went after wickedness and how they were destroyed. God warns us through the word and warns us, and it says that how much he loves us. A lot of people, I've actually heard people say, a guy at work one time, he says, I was talking to him about hell. And he says, well, you know, God would never send nobody to hell forever. I mean, that just you just go there and pay for your punishment for the sins you committed on earth. And then after that, you can go into heaven. I said, if that be the case, why did Jesus come? If you're going to pay for it, why did he have to pay for it? It is eternal. Well, God's such a good God. And he would never send nobody to hell. I said, you're exactly right. He is a good God. You send your own self there. He's only the judge, judging our lives. And he warns Israel about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says in verse number 11 of Isaiah, the first chapter, he said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. We're still talking about clean hands. But this is what Israel would do. They would come to God with dirty hands and try to get God to accept their sacrifices. But they polluted the sacrifices with their dirty hands. Amen. We're going to get to the good part in a minute about us with clean hands. But we got to wash our hands first. Amen. Listen. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? The Lord said, what do you bring all this stuff for? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of fat a fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? He said, bring no more vain oblations, no more emptiness. Come on. How many times are we guilty coming to the house of the Lord with empty praise? Come on. Come on, sometimes I've heard people amen things that shouldn't even be amen in the church world. Why? Because it's empty. They don't even know what's what. And then we come in and when something should be praised or amen, it's not amen. Why? Because we're not paying attention. We're empty. We're thinking about what we're going to do after church. That's what the enemy would love for you to think, what you're going to do after church. But God wants to know what you're going to do in church. He wants to know what you're going to do this morning right now. He said, don't bring no more empty stuff. Don't bring those empty words. He says, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with them. He said, I can't take no away with all this. You're wearying me. It is iniquity. Verse 14, it said, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. He said another place in Isaiah, about the 45th chapter, I think it was, he says that they weary me with your iniquities. Malachi in the 2nd chapter, verse 17, those taking notes, the Lord says that he is wearied with our words. How many times we come in and the Lord deal with us with the word of God, touching our spirit, and we say, God, I'm going to do better. How many times have we ever said that and then we didn't do better? God said, you weary me. It's like a broke record. You weary me. God, I ain't going to dirty my hands no more. Thank you for cleaning them. Thank you. Lord, I'll not. And we go out in the very same week, sometimes the very same day that we've cleansed our hands, we go ahead and dirty them up again. We're like children that mama gets them all dressed up to go off. Mamas know to get their children dressed last, don't you? Because if you get them all washed and dressed and clothes all neat, and you say, all right, now you stay right here, I'm going to go in here and get dressed. And when you come out and you're ready to go, they done got out in the mud and dirtied their hands and their knees, and their clothes are spotty and wrinkled. Amen? Because they're children. Are y'all with me this morning? I hope so. All right. Verse 15, it says that when ye spread forth your hands. Ooh. God, has to look away. He can't look on sin. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, do you ever wonder why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why he said that? You know why he had to? Because he had David Whitfield sin on him, and God couldn't look on him. God had to hide his eyes from him. And because God looked away for that moment of time, the sun quit shining. When God looks away from us, the sun quits shining on us. The earth starts quaking and we start having all kind of problems. And we wonder why. America, don't get political, Brother David. Okay, I will get political. Jesus was very political. The priest and the Pharisees was the political people of their time. And did he not talk about them a lot? He called them snakes and vipers. I need to go to the Congress. Be nice, Brother David. He said, and when you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You have contaminated your hands. And because our hands are contaminated, we come to be preachers and try to preach the word. And we contaminate the word. Amen? Come on. And then because our hands are dirty and we preach a contaminated word unto the people in the church, we contaminate the people. I mean, there's a lot of flu season going around. And, you know, how you doing? You ever had anybody like that? You fix them, shake their hand, they go, or, and how you doing? Hey, man. Remember, I usually shake y'all's hands on the way out. I'll try to wash them this morning. I give y'all the left-handed fellowship. How about that? Oh, help us, Lord. He goes on. He says in Matthew 15 and 7, he says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Then he goes on, he says, wash you. In other words, you need to wash yourself. How? In the blood of Jesus. It'll make you clean. Put away the evil from your doings and from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the widows. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, your hands are dirty, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, white and pure. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse to rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Amen? That's what he's telling us. You see, the world is evil and it's a sinful place, and we need to make sure that our hand stays clean. Amen? Our hand stays clean. He said in 1 Timothy 5:22, he says, not to be partaker in other men's sins, but keep ourselves pure. Amen? That's what he's telling us to do. Psalms 26:1, he says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. What is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing when no one else is watching. It's easy to do the wrong thing, or it's easy to do the right thing when people are watching, but do the right thing when nobody's watching. That's integrity. David said, I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissimulars. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. Where did David get that from? David got it from part of the law over in Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, when they would find someone that was dead, laying in the street, that all the people of every tribe would have to come, and they would kill a heifer. And over that heifer, they would begin to wash their hands, if you will, and they would confess and say, I don't know anything about this dead body, and I don't know anyone that did it. I didn't do it, and I don't know anyone did. I didn't partake with anyone that did this. And they're washing their hands so that the blood of that man would not be upon them. Amen. And so David said, I wash my hands in innocency. He said, I've not partaken with the wicked. I've not hung out with the sinners. Amen. I'm not guilty of all this sin. I'm washing my hands. Amen. That's what he's talking about. That's what Pilate tried to do. You remember when Jesus, they were going to crucify him? Pilate went to the water bowl and he said, I washed my hands of him. Yet Pilate knew that this man had done no wrong. Amen. But he tried to wash away the guilt of it. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They come to church just enough to wash away the guilt a little bit. But I'm telling you, we need to get our souls washed. Amen. And our names clean. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Understand. Verse 7, David says, 6 again, he says, I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and to tell all of thy wonderful, wondrous works. In other words, David said, if my hands are dirty, how can I brag on you, God? Who would want to hear me? He said, Lord, I have loved thy habitation and thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners. In other words, don't send me to hell with the bloody man in whose hands is mischief. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. I will walk with my clean hands, amen. I will walk and not be guilty. David's talking about how the enemy came in chapter 18 of Psalms. In verse 1, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. A lot of good preaching and all that. You ought to study it out. Then he begins to break out into a song. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. All this is a song. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me in my distress. I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came up before him, even into his ears. Why? Because I had clean hands, amen. Because my hands was clean. I didn't have to pray through iniquity. Come on. My hands was clean. He goes on to verse 17. He says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from that which hated me. for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay, my support, my protector. Verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. Verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He hath recompensed me, amen. David said, if my hands would have been dirty, the enemies would have destroyed me. But because my hand is clean, because my hand was clean, God was on my side. Understand the importance of it. Not that you can just come in here and lift up holy hands. No, but God watches over us and takes care of us because we're not guilty. For I have kept thy ways, the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For by thee, he says in verse number 29, for by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Who is God save the Lord? And who is our rock save our God? Amen. Is there any other rock beside God? Come on. Is there any other God beside our God? Is it? Come on. Talking about the textbooks in our school system, and they said there's over 500 mistakes when it comes to talking about Christianity in there. And they named a couple of them. One of them was this. They said the Ten Commandments are laws claimed to be given to Moses from God. But then it said the Quran is this. It is the word of the Lord received from God by Muhammad. What a contrast. Oh, in other words, Moses claimed to get this from God, but the Quran was received from God. Your school system can't buy enough of them books. I don't blow you smoke. That's truth. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. Those coming announcements this morning. Who is God save the Lord? Who can clean us? What is the old song? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, yeah. Y'all know it. Makes me white as snow. No other font. You want to know some things God hates? Proverbs in the 6th chapter in verse 16. Listen. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. If you got 6 of them in your life, God hates you. Wow. If you got 7, you're an abomination unto God. Listen. A proud look. But Dave, you look pretty proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a haughty. I'm better than you. By the way, these ties. Y'all thought I was going to preach on a coat of many color, didn't you? These ties. Y'all guys, there's several of them through the church this morning. Sister Teresa found them. They was made by cancer kids. Kids with cancer. They were designed by them. That was their design. It's one of them. They got their names on the back of them. Several of them around the church this morning. Amen. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue. There's hands. Hands that shed innocent blood. Whew. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to run into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Wow. We need our hands clean, don't we, church? I feel like I want to go wash my hands this morning. I don't know about you. Think about it. He said in 1 Timothy in the 2nd chapter verse 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere lifting up. What kind of hands? Holy hands. What is holy hand? That is sanctified. That is right divine character hands. That is hands of mercy. Do you have mercy in your hands? Are you whole people? Purified hands. What kind of hands you have this morning? What kind of hands? People are watching you. May not be in the restroom coming out of the stall and you going to fix their food, but they're watching you. And watching your hands. See what you're doing. See what you're touching. See how you treat them. Amen. He said, I would that men pray everywhere lifting up holy hands, sanctified, purified, merciful hands, without wrath, without doubting, without wrath. That's hold up hands without anger and indignation and vengeance. You be careful, you be spreading, spilled innocent blood. Without doubting, without disputing, without debating. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Amen. We need clean hands. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. When we touch, you know, a surgeon is going to operate on you. He goes in and they wash their hands and purify them and sanctify them with the chemical they have there or whatever. You see them on TV. I don't know how they do it in the operating room, but they come through there like this. They don't want to touch nothing. Those instruments they use are sterilized and purified. Why? Because they could carry something that could kill you. Some bacteria get on there and get on the inside of you. Our hands should be like the surgeon's hands. The instruments we use are sterilized and purified. Amen? And we should not contaminate the instruments. Touch not the unclean thing. And he says, I will receive you. And David said lastly in Psalms 134:2, he says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Amen. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. I want to ask you this morning, how is your hands? Your hands represents the rest of you. Represents how your soul is. How's your hands this morning? You need to come and lay your hands on the altar, Lord. You need to come and put some anointing oil on them. Let's pray over them. Are you guilty? David said, I wash my hands in innocence. I'm not guilty. I've not wronged anyone. I've not sinned against God. I've not taken vengeance out on anyone. I don't have wrath in me. Can you say that this morning? Can you stand before God this morning with clean hands? Thank you, Lord. You still see the blood of Jesus upon them. How about it? Are you ready? On three. Here we go. One, two, three. Come on, stand all over the house and obey the Lord. You just obey the Lord. They tell you this time of the year to wash your hands a lot so that you don't pass germs. If you got unclean hands, my friend, you'll pass it on to your friends. You got sin in your life, that's unclean hands. You'll share it with others. You'll bring your children up in there, your spouse. your kinfolks, your co-workers. You influence them by your hands, by your life. How is it with you? How's your hands this morning? Come on. God, is my hands clean? Can I stand before you? Who shall, what did we start with? He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Do you have a pure heart and clean hands this morning? If you don't, you're not going to heaven. If you don't, you cannot stand in the presence of God. That's his word.
In the blood.
Lord, take my hands and purify them, God. Lord, that I might not touch others to defile them. But when I touch them, Lord, it would be to make them more pure towards you. God, that I would only pass good things on to others. God, that I can handle the word of God and not handle it deceitfully. God, purify my hands this morning, Lord.
In the blood.
Which purifies my life, God. Help me, Lord, not to touch any of the unclean thing. God, I thank you for each one that has come this way today, God. Help us to wash our hands in innocency, Lord. God, help us this morning, Lord. Father, not to be found guilty of any. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I glorify you. I praise you.
Will your
hallelujah.
Be white, pure and white in the blood.